Welcome to Aliyah Yomi. We are going to be learning today Vayakhel Shlishi, the third Aliyah in Parshas Vayakhel. The topic of our Aliyah is the artisans, and it's 13 psukim running from Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Lamed, to Perek Lamed Vov, Pasuk Zion. Basic overview of our Aliyah, and then we'll jump to some points to ponder. We hear that Moshe Rabbeinu now tells Israel, now that you've collected all this money, I am now appointing Hashem, called out by name, Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, from the tribe of Yehuda. Hashem has filled him with all this spirit of wisdom and understanding how to do all this work and to put lachashov machshavos, to have intent. That's a reflection of the laws of Shabbos, that Shabbos needs to have meleches machshavos, intent, as opposed to just doing an action. And he knows how to the artisanship of carving stones, and to teach as well. He has alongside him Ahaliyav, the son of Achisamach from the tribe of Dan. He also is filled with all these abilities and weaving in addition as well. So we now hear how they put out teams, v'chol ish chacham lev, all the individuals who are like this, and they are now given the management of these teams to be able to take all the donations that they're receiving, that Israel are bringing to them in these mornings. And we hear that they start, the process begins, and the donations are accumulating in such a way that Vayatzav Moshe Vayaviru Kol B'machaneh Lemor Ish V'Isha Al Yasu Od Melacha Yichumas HaKodesh. The program is finishing because V'hamelacha Haysa Dayam V'Lachol HaMelacha La'asoy Sa'asav Ha'aser. It was enough, there was even excess, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to tell everybody to stop at this point in time. First building fundraiser in history that had to stop because it had reached its funds. Now, a few basic points to ponder is, number one is, what do the names Bezalel and Ahaliyav mean? Is there a relevance to them and their positions? The answer is yes. The Klei Akra says Bezalel comes from the notion of Betzel Kel, in the shadow of God. So he understands certain divine metaphysical secrets. Ahaliyav comes from the word Ahal Av, the tent made for our Father in heaven. So both of them, their names reflected their mission in life, which is what they were doing in their architecture. Not just physical, but metaphysical architecture that they were putting into the intent of the very creation of the Mishkan, reflecting the notion that on Shabbos we stop from creative, intentional activity. If we do an activity by mistake, we have not transgressed Shabbos, although there is still a Korban Chatas. Now, why are the tribes of Yehuda and Dan the ones who are the ones yielding or producing these men? Rashi explains that Dan was the lowest of the tribes, and it's to show there's a meritocracy, that from the highest to the lowest. In fact, I would even suggest that you see that the tribe that traveled first is Yehuda, the tribe that traveled last is Dan. And here's the Ma'asef HaMachanos, and in a certain sense what that's saying is the leaders are from the entire spectrum. The Klei Akra takes it one more step further, and he says that if you look at the names Yehuda and the name Dan, those names are also indicative of the Shem Havaya, Hashem's name of mercy, which is his ultimate name, and then the name Dan of Din, of justice. That's mercy and justice, the two elements with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. If you look at Bereishis, it's Hashem Elohim, the two names together through most of the creation, at least in the one version of it, and that is an indication of the combination of mercy and justice necessary to create this world, which is why the Mishkan was created in the same way with these two tribes, Yehuda and Dan as well. Now, why could they not contribute more? Why was it that they didn't want to just say, well, we'll keep the extras in the coffers and we'll use this for the fund of management and upkeep? Why would they stop telling them to do this? So it's interesting. If we go back to the sin of the golden calf, which many Mephoroshim understand that the Mishkan is here to atone for, as we looked at in the last week's parasha, the Kuzari has a very profound observation, and it is that Rav Yehuda Halevi, he explains that really the intention behind the Egel was very much well intended. They wanted to have a place, a divining agent that would capture the experience of Sinai, knowing that the experience of Sinai was just so overpowering and incredible, there would be no way to be able to translate it into regular life. So they said, let's make a place where we can meet Hashem, we'll use gold, we'll create an image which is on the throne of God and be able to have a communion with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, they were correct in the sense that that's exactly what Hashem commanded, it was to create a Mishkan. There is something to this. However, it is worthwhile that they were misguided in the sense that they disobeyed what Hashem says, which is don't try to replicate what you saw in heaven, don't try to make these images. So in a certain sense, what was the intention that was correct, the kavanah hayaretzuya, the intention was well intended, but the ma'asim enem retzuyam, the actions were not well done. And that's because this is not the way Hashem wanted it. Hashem said, this is not the way to reach me. Do not try to create images. And in fact, it did devolve into other worship. worship within short order. So that being the case, if you think about the Mishkan being a corrective strategy to that, then that's why it is, we'll see, God willing, when we get to Parshas Pekudei, why there's so much emphasis on precision, Kasher Tziva Hashem as Moshe, as God commanded the Moshe to command the people, and that's very specifically it. And that's also why there is also a cap on how much they could give as well. The notion is that it's not about what you want to create, but what I want you to create for me. Meaning, we're going to create this Mishkan not like the Egel Azov. It's not going to be a whole chaos, a chaotic crowd coming forward and shoving their gold into the fire because they want to do something even as well intended as it is. No. It's going to be in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it very precisely, and there's a very precise cap. That's why it's emphasized over here. Now, the Aruch Haim HaKadosh does point out that there is a contradiction in the last words, or the last line of our Aliyah, which is that it was Dayam, the Melacha was enough, and it was Hoser, and it was more. And so how do you consolidate those two terms? The Aruch Haim HaKadosh says that people really did give more. There was such a, people really wanted to give so much, and the nace was that all of their work, all, if you could imagine, thousands, tens of thousands of people wishing and wanting to be part of the Melechus Mishkan, bringing whatever they could find in their tents, whether they were rich or whether they were poor or in the middle. And you can imagine, like, when they close the tables, that would be the time when then some of the people, you know, that the fellow who's just bringing the only, you know, the bronze ring he has in his household, and he wanted that to be part of the Melechus HaMishkan, even the extras were able to be part of the Dayam, was part of what it was, of the creation of the Mishkan, even though there was a little bit extra. It was all consolidated and used in the Mishkan as well, which is a very powerful expression of the nedivos lev, of the generosity of heart of the nation of Israel. With this, we conclude the third Aliyah. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day.